If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3 and verse 3. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3 and verse 3. The words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And our subject this morning is Features of the New Birth. Features of the New Birth. Well, these are very famous words uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you will be familiar of these words. Well, they are not just familiar words, but very important words. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Well, doesn't that sound very important to us? But we will look at that a little later. These can be mysterious words to some. Some people don't really understand what it is to be born again. And in this age particularly, when there is so much false and errant teaching, so much misunderstanding of the scriptures, well then it is no surprise that there are some who do not really understand what it is to be born again. And this is such an important subject that we ought to spend some time this morning thinking upon these things. Born again. Well, from the outset, we have to be clear that this has nothing to do with reincarnation. Some people, not many, but some people think this has something to do with reincarnation, that idea that when you die, you are reborn as a new person or a creature or an animal. Well, this biblical notion of being born again has nothing to do with reincarnation in that sense. We do call it sometimes regeneration, but it's not reincarnation. So that is something we need to dismiss very quickly. But then even some Christians have a very simplistic view of what it is to be born again. Some Christians and some well-meaning Christians believe that when you are baptized, you are born again. Just through the physical act of going into the water, you are born again. And coming out, you are born again. In fact, when I was a youngster and me and my family would go to a church, we went to a church that believed that. And so they were very anxious to get everyone to be baptized. If you go into the baptismal pool, well, you go in a sinner and you come out wholly cleansed, washed, as if there is some magical element in the water. You just go in a sinner and you come out, you're clean, you're forgiven. But that is not biblical new birth. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ mentions here about being born again. Being born again is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing where we physically go down into the water and physically come up. Baptism, that water baptism, is just a picture of what has already happened to us, that spiritual change within ourselves. Is just a symbol, a demonstration, if you like, of that which has already happened in our lives. We have already died to ourselves. We have already been born again, new creation spiritually. The baptism is just a demonstration to help people understand what has happened in your life. But that's not actually the time when we are born again. That is a spiritual work, a spiritual change. And so these things, those are just two misconceptions. But the new birth, we must clarify what this is. Well, the first thing we need to notice, or certainly about this encounter in John's chapter 3, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a religious person. He's speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, we read in verse 1. He is a Pharisee. He is a member of the Sanhedrin, a very prominent Jew. The Sanhedrin was the highest tribunal of Jews that met in Jerusalem. And Nicodemus is a member of that. He's a ruler of the Jews, a religious man. And in verse 2, we notice that he recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ as a man of God. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is somebody sent from God, a good man, a miraculous man, and so this is his great understanding of him. But in verse 3, it is clear, and we've read this already, there is something missing from his profession, something missing with Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is saying to Nicodemus, well, yes, you're very religious. Yes, you're a member of the Sanhedrin. But do you know what it is to truly be saved? It's not your outward religion. It's not your physical appearance. It is your inward state. Are you born again? Nicodemus, well, people would have looked at him and thought, well, if there's somebody who's going to heaven, it's him. It's Nicodemus. He's in with the Jews, with the prominent Jews. He's in the temple all the time. He preaches, he teaches. He must be going to heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And well, just from the outset here, we have to ask ourselves, are there any here who are like that? Very religious outwardly, attenders of church, lover of the hymns, lover of the company of Christian people. And many people look at you and think, well, that's a good man. He's definitely going to heaven. She's definitely going to heaven. But you're not born again. You don't have that spiritual birth within you. That was the case with Nicodemus. Maybe it's the case with us. You are born once, of course, we're all born once physically, but you haven't been born spiritually. And that is the vital thing that we need to understand. Are we born spiritually? So very important, or else we cannot see the kingdom of God. What a terrible thing. To be religious your whole life through, to go to church your whole life through, and then at the end, you will not see the kingdom of God. What a great tragedy. That, I would suggest to you, is a greater tragedy than an atheist. An atheist who lives all his life in unbelief and indulges himself in the things of this world. Well, at the end, if he is told he is not going into the kingdom of God, well, at least it won't be a surprise to him. At least he'll know, oh, I never took the things of God very seriously. I rejected the things of God. At least he'll understand that. But somebody who comes to church every week, thinking they're right with God, thinking they know God, loving the Christian hymns and the church and everything, but they're never born again, what a terrible tragedy that is. To realize at the end, you will not see the kingdom of God. And so, well, we see that this is so very important for us to understand. We have to examine ourselves. Are we born again? But Nicodemus, well, he doesn't quite understand what the Lord Jesus Christ means when he says, you must be born again. In verse 4, we see Nicodemus saying unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He lacks understanding, you see. Can he go the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, of course, that is not what the Lord Jesus Christ means. But I want to stay with that illustration, going into the mother's womb or a child in a womb. That's actually a very good illustration of somebody who is not born again. Somebody who is spiritually unborn. You think of a child in the womb, well, there is life, of course. There's life in a child, even from the very point of conception. Of course there is. But it's a limited type of life. It's a life, well, many tests and many scientists try to figure out what a baby can feel or not feel in the womb. They have some senses, yes, we know that. But these are very distorted or dulled, if you like. Maybe the child can see things, and there have been some tests done and prove that a child in the womb can, she opens her eyes at about 22 weeks, and they can detect whether there is light and darkness. They can see some of these things, even in the womb. And, that's actually quite a good illustration of somebody who is spiritually unborn, somebody who is not born again. You can see that there is light. You can see that there is darkness. You know that the things of God are light. You come to a church, you hear about peace and truth and compassion and love. Oh yes, God is all these things, so I'll go to church. And you can recognize the darkness in this world. You see all the sins, all the evil things, all the lies, all the disappointments. You can distinguish between light and darkness. And that's why you come to church. You go towards the light. But anything else, well, you don't understand. Your development has not gone beyond a certain point. And so you don't really have that new birth, as it were. You're still in the womb. Well, I'm sure a child in the womb can hear certain things, but again, there is no understanding. They cannot make out where these words are coming from, who is truly speaking these words. And that's the same with someone who is not born again, who is still in the womb, as it were. Well, they come to a church, they hear the words, but they don't really understand the gospel of grace. They don't really understand the message that is being communicated. They hear it. They hear about the law of God. They hear about how God is holy. And well, they think to themselves, ah, God is holy. God likes people doing good things. So if I just live a good life, then I'll go to heaven. I'll just live as good a life as possible, and then God will be pleased with me. And that's the way that I go to heaven. But you haven't really understood it. You haven't understood the true message. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We cannot earn forgiveness with God. We have to confess our sins before God. And we have to be accepted freely into heaven by God's grace. That is the message that we ought to hear. But well, if we are not born again, well, then we don't understand these things. And a child in the womb, well, he or she is actually very content to stay in the womb. He's very comfortable. It's a great comfort zone for that baby. And you know, there are so many people in this world, many unbelievers, they're very content to be, well, living, but not living spiritually. A baby in the womb, well, that baby, the purpose of that life is to be born. Born into a greater world, into a greater appreciation of life, into a greater life. That is the purpose why a baby is in the womb, not to stay in the womb, but to be born into this world, to know greater life. And that is our purpose here on earth. The purpose of our lives is to seek and find the Lord, that we may be born again and know Him and know greater life for our souls. But well, there are so many who are content to be in that comfort zone, not knowing God, not knowing anything about His Word. And this is so very tragic. It's such a sad thing. But well, if we think, if we extend this illustration, a baby being born, what is the first expression that a baby comes out with when he or she is born? Well, this is very interesting. A baby is born, and well, of course, we all know that a baby cries as soon as he or she is born. He cries. Well, this is very interesting. Have you ever thought about this? Why is it a cry, an expression of human sorrow? Why is it not anything else? Why does the baby not remain silent? Why does the baby not even maybe laugh or smile as he or she is coming out? Why is it that cry of sorrow? Animals, when they're born, they don't have that same mournful, sorrowful expression when they are born. It is only human beings. And do we think about that? Well, in a way, it's very poignant. It's very fitting because we're born into a fallen world, a world that is full of sorrow, a world that is full of sin. And maybe when a child cries, as he or she enters into this world, it's God reminding us that we are being born into a fallen world, that we are fallen people. An expression of sorrow is our first expression. Well, that's a poignant thing to think about. But you know, when we are born again, those who are born again into spiritual life, that's really our first expression. Sorrow. Sorrow over our sin. We realize that we are born sinners. We are born that way. It's in our nature. And well, somebody who is born again, he knows and understands these things. I am a born sinner. King David, in one of his psalms, realized this in a very real way. In sin did my mother conceive me. When I was born in sin. And well, it is so very obvious to us that men and women are born sinful. When we have children, and when they grow up, or when they start to grow up, well, we can see the sin in them naturally. You don't have to teach them to disobey. They disobey naturally. You have to teach them to obey, to be good. But doing that which is wrong, doing that which is breaking the rules of the parents, that comes very naturally to them. We are rebels by nature. We are sinners. That's the way we are. And so, when people say, oh, I'm not a sinner, I haven't done anything wrong, well, you have to explain to them, it's not just the things we do, it's the way that we actually are. We are sinners by our very nature. We are rebels against authority, and we are rebels against God. Rebels against God. In fact, even just saying, I have not done anything wrong, is an act of rebellion against God. God says in his word, we are all sinners, there are none righteous, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we rebel against that. I haven't done anything wrong. Not me, I'm not a sinner. If you just say I haven't done anything wrong, well, that is an act of rebellion, making God out to be a liar. And we are at enmity with him. We are opposed to God. So even protesting your innocence makes you opposed to God. And that is such a terrible thing. But somebody who is born again has such a great sense of his sin and sorrows over it. He remembers his life. He remembers all the things that he has done. And he cries out to God, just like a newborn babe. He cries out, Lord, forgive me. Have great mercy upon me. That is what it is to be born again. It starts with that cry of sorrow. Sorrow over sin. Nothing else. You know what you are. Lord, have mercy upon me. But then if we extend the illustration even further, a baby is born crying. But then what happens? The baby is given to his parents, to his mother, or maybe to his father. And what does that baby know? Love. Love. The love of his parents. And it's the same for those who are born again. One who is born again, yes, has sorrow for sin. Yes, has a humble and broken and contrite heart. But when he cries out to God and confesses his sin, the first thing he knows is love. The love of God. The pardon of sin. He knows that intense love. As a parent, a father, a mother, when that baby is in the parents' arms, well, that baby, I am sure, has a great sense that that father or mother is his protector, will give all for that child. And when we come to God and we are saved, we are born again, we know that God has given everything for us. Everything for us. God the Father gave his only begotten Son out of love for this world, that there may be a way of salvation, that we may be forgiven all our sin. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he loved us so much that he went to the cross to take upon himself the punishment for our sin. A newborn believer, a born-again believer, he will understand that great love of God, taking upon himself our punishment. And God the Holy Spirit works in us, leads us to faith in Christ, that we may know the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. These are such wonderful things. You see, we cry out for sorrow, we cry out over our sin, but we don't receive punishment. We receive the love of God. Just as a baby is taken to his parents' arms, we are taken to God. He is our eternal refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms that will not let us go. And well, we not only know love when we are born again, we know security. A newborn baby will know great security in his parents' arms. And Christians, when they are truly born again, they know security of salvation. They know that they will never fall from grace. They know that they are God's forever. Now, some people you speak to, they're not sure whether they are truly saved, whether they are truly going to heaven. They say that they are Christians, and you ask them, well, what is your certainty of salvation? And they say, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I've had a bad week this last week. I've done things I'm not proud of. So I'm not sure now which way it's going to go. Well, that is not a sign of a true born-again believer. A born-again believer is sure, is secure in Christ. He knows for sure that he will go to heaven. Not because of anything he has done. It's not dependent upon him, upon his performance. Before he was trying to work his way to heaven. Oh, if I only be good enough, I will get to heaven. But well, he came to that point when he realized, I will never earn forgiveness. I am a sinner by nature. I will never be good enough for God. And so he gives up. He dies to himself. And he is born again, trusting only in Christ. Christ alone for salvation. I will go to heaven because of what he has done. His righteousness. He lived a perfect life of righteousness, perfect obedience to God for me. And he went to the cross to make atonement for all my sin. He has done everything. I cannot contribute anything to it. I trust in him and in him alone. I am sure I will go to heaven because of what he has done. There is nothing that I can do. A newborn believer, a born-again believer, is safe in that sense. Well, is that us? Do we claim to trust in Christ? But we sort of claim trust in our own performance. We think that we are good, and we have off days, and we have good days, and we're wavering from one time to the next. One day we think we're right with God, the next we don't know. That's not the sign of a born-again believer. We trust in Christ alone. All our hope is in him. And that is a tremendous thing, a tremendous state to be in. But my last point this morning is a born-again believer grows. He grows. Just like a baby who is born into this world doesn't just stay small, doesn't just stay a baby. A born-again believer grows. So if you claim to be a born-again believer, have you grown since that time of new birth, since that time of repentance and faith? Just think of how a baby, an infant grows, a baby begins to talk and utter words, and what a great joy that is for any parent. Well, a newborn believer, he will start to talk about Christ. He will start to witness to others. He will desire, that will be the great desire of his heart, to make Christ known to others and to speak to God in prayer. That is the sign of a newborn believer. A child will begin to walk, and a born-again believer will walk with God, will seek his guidance, will seek his face. Every major decision he will bring before the Lord and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? I want to follow your will. That is what a born-again believer does. A born-again believer obeys God. Well, a child, a young child, if he has good parents, he will learn to obey his parents. And that is what a born-again believer does. He lives in obedience, following the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, pursuing after holiness, striving to be better and to do better. And well, a child of God truly will grow in strength. A normal child grows in physical strength, but we grow in grace, we grow in trust, in faith. Have you grown in faith? If you are a born-again believer, or are you just as faithless as you were, maybe even before you were saved? Things come your way and you don't know how you're going to handle them, and you worry and you fret and you seek earthly, worldly solutions. You've never grown in faith. A born-again believer grows. Well, these are so important. And remember, if we are not born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And if we look down at verses 5 and 6, and even 7, Jesus' further words to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the spiritual birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This is not optional. This is essential. The second birth. If you are born the second time, you will only die once. Your physical death. If you are born again, you will only know one death, a physical death, and that will be a glorious death. You will go to be with the Lord. Death will be gain for you. You will no longer be in this world of sorrow and sin. You will be with the Lord. You will know that great blessed assurance that you truly are a child of God and that you will dwell with him forever. If you are not born again, you die twice. You die physically and you die a second death. You die spiritually. At the judgment day, when you stand before God, all the dead will be raised. All will stand before God. They've already died once physically, but now they stand before God in judgment. And if they do not know Christ, if they do not know that new birth, they will die a second time. Eternal loss, the second death. So this is not an optional thing, being born again, if we are Christians. We must seek that new birth. Is there new life in you? Do you know that there was a time when you were born again? You sorrowed over your own sin. You cried out to God. And as you did, you were taken to the Father, to Christ. And you knew the love of God shed abroad in your heart. That love that is everlasting. That love that means you are secure and safe forever, because you trust in Christ and in him alone. This is such a vital lesson. You must be born again. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to him and pray that you will be born again and you will know his love forever. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Father in heaven, O Lord, we thank thee that Christ has come to save us, and to point us to the way of salvation and to explain to us what we must do to be saved. And Lord, may we all hearken to the words that he uttered to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." May we strive after that new birth, that new life. May we cry out because of our sin. May we know that we are forgiven and that we are loved of our God. Help us, we pray. Leave none, O Lord, to shame and judgment on that great and coming day, but save each and every one in this place. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.